Welcome to the Tiny Morbid Fantasies podcast with your host, Andrea and Sophia.
This is a podcast of short stories based on our everyday tiny morbid thoughts.
So this is Tiny Morbid Fantasies.
Hi.
This is Andrea.
And I'm Sophia.
And let's talk about mental health.
Yeah. So this is our episode about mental health, where we'll be discussing, you know, different aspects of mental health, awareness of it, stigmas. It's going to be a well-rounded discussion. So hashtag end the stigma. As we're recording, it is May and it is Mental Health Awareness Month. So when you get to listen to it, it won't be, but that's not the point. The point is that this is a discussion that needs to be had whenever.
Yeah, this could be an all-year round type of discussion because mental health happens, and mental health needs to happen all year round.
Yeah.
There's issues, so we're going to discuss some of them.
When we talk about mental health, there's so many aspects to it, and part of it is, yes, going to therapy, and yes, getting diagnosed, but, you know, what do you do after the fact? You need to manage yourself. There's mood management. There is self-care.
So I feel like we should start off by saying we are not professionals.
Oh, no.
We're not experts, but we just want to talk about this topic. Did you want to start off with just talking about a few of the mental illnesses? Because you spoke to some people, so...
I did.
Some of the mental illnesses that you'll be kind of referencing
from
the responses from people that you got.
Right. So I reached out to one of my... a group that I'm somewhat proactive in, and I told them we were doing this episode, and I was like, look, I just want some input, and I'm going to read off a couple of their comments. So I'm not going to name their names. I respect their privacy, whether or not they want to be named. I asked them if anybody would like to contribute content for an episode of my podcast. We're doing a very special episode around mental health and the stigmas around it. And if you'd like to contribute anything to the discussion, please drop a comment. This is not diagnosis specific, just fostering a healthy conversation around it. Due to the content that our pod has, we thought it would be the responsible thing to do. Looking for topics including depression and mood management, self-care, diagnosing, therapists and finding the right one, mindfulness, etc. So here are some of the responses that I got. I have bipolar 2 and am very out loud about it. Mood management is a great topic. It's taken me 38 years to recognize my triggers and see signs that I'm about to go manic. I think that's wonderful. That takes a lot of self-actualization to get to that point. And she said 38 years.
Yeah, that's a long time. And if there was more people talking about mental health issues...
You might not have to wait that long.
Yeah, people probably don't have to wait half of their lives to figure it out.
Yeah. This one's a longer thread, so I'm gonna kind of condense it. So this woman,
person, I'm just kidding.
Ooh, that's a good point. So, so this is a long one, so I'm gonna condense it. This person said that she was diagnosed as bipolar this year, and she's working through it without meds right now. She is in recovery from an eating disorder, which she said that it's an active eating disorder. It doesn't go away. She has to be super aware of it to be able to combat it. And that's an issue as well.
I mean, I'm glad she said that it's an ongoing thing because that's what, you know, mental illnesses are. And same thing with eating disorders. You don't just, there's no cure for it. It's just a thing that's there and you learn how to manage it.
Yeah. And she says that she uses exercise and mindfulness to deal with it. And she's in the best place in her life right now, which is
nice.
Amazing. And so she goes on to say that she didn't think that she needed help for it, but, you know, she had a lot of self self-degrading.
Why can't we get the words?
I don't know. So she said that she thought that she was too fat to have an eating disorder because her brain, this is the thing, your brain tells you things. Your internal thoughts aren't necessarily things that you want to have, which is a lot of what we talk about on our podcast. It just happens and you need to manage it in a way that makes sense for you. So her brain telling her that she was too fat isn't a thought that she wanted to have. It's an intrusive thought, regardless of, you know, what, regardless of disorder, essentially. I'm butchering her comments and I apologize, but she said it was like the voice in her head that shamed her no matter what she did, what she ate, or how hard she exercised. She truly never thought that she would get through it. And it got to a point where she was purging at least 4 times a week, and it was crippling her mentally, physically, and ruining her relationships with friends, family, and more importantly, herself. And she goes on to talk about her bipolar disorder or diagnosis. So she was originally diagnosed as ADD with one psychiatrist, and then she switched. And it turns out that this new one had told her that, you know, we're going to start treating you for bipolar disorder. And I don't know if it was one or two, because there is a difference. So that's a big thing, too, is being misdiagnosed. You need to advocate for yourself, which is really hard, especially when you don't know what's going on. And a lot of the times, too, like, you start to identify as the disorder that you have, and that might not always be what's going on. It changes and it evolves, and a lot of mental illnesses have a late onset. So I was listening to another podcast where they were talking about how Catherine Zeta-Jones found out later in life that she had bipolar disorder.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. But I have no references or sources but this podcast that I listen to, so please, you know,
take it with a grain of salt.
Exactly. So, but that just gives you some insight. It takes a while, and your brain evolves and it changes, and it's affected by other things.
But also another thing, mm-hmm. if you may not know that you have a certain mental illness like bipolar disorder,
right?
Because you've just been managing it like your own way, you just figured out a way to survive, basically.
Yes.
Without being diagnosed, and you're just like, well, that's just the way I work.
So then therapy. It turns out
there's an easier way.
But how do you get there, right? You need to have foster a sense of awareness. And I think when you name it, you can take control over it and manage it. We're not saying that there's a cure to any of this, but management is a huge aspect of it. So, yeah, I think that's a wonderful point. So another one of the topics that I got was to paraphrase, it's about postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, and postpartum rage. They wanted to let us know that it's extremely common in women after going through a pregnancy. And they wanted to also note that if you're having feelings that you don't normally have and you're having trouble managing, please discuss this with a professional. That's part of any mental illness, really, but it's being aware of those changes and those thoughts that you're having that can lead to getting help.
Right. And just being able to express those thoughts, because sometimes you won't even think that it's something worth bringing up.
Absolutely.
And you should just do it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, I knew about postpartum depression, but I didn't know about postpartum anxiety or postpartum rage.
I didn't know those were things.
There were other things out there that existed past postpartum depression.
Yeah, and this was coming from a person who said that they were a doula for pregnant women. So, I mean, I would imagine that she's experienced many women go through some of these things. So it's not from one person's perspective. She's witnessed a lot of it.
Yeah, but it makes sense because your body goes through a lot with childbirth. So I've heard. Not gonna do it.
So I had another comment from somebody that said that she wanted to talk about the acceptance of taking meds. Just because you're taking meds does not mean there's something inherently wrong with you. It means that you are managing something that your body doesn't manage on its own.
I don't know why there's a stigma about it. Like I said earlier, I forget what I said. If someone has a heart condition, they take medication for that condition. So it shouldn't be stigmatized. That's not a word, is it? Doesn't feel like it.
Stigmatized?
So there shouldn't be a stigma when there's a mental illness and people need to take medication for it.
Because yeah.
I feel like people are maybe, I wouldn't say looked down upon, but definitely there's a certain shady side eye that kind of happens when someone says they're on medication
right.
for a mental illness. It's just like, oh, you're one of those people. like, yeah, I'm a fucking person.
Yeah. I mean, we have a friend that has diabetes and they need to have a pump at all times. And the thing about it is no one's looking down at him for needing insulin and to manage his diabetes. And that's the thing is a mental illness is similar in the way that you don't have control or a choice on whether or not you have it, right. But managing it with medication is completely fine. If it's fine for somebody who's taking heart meds for heart condition, it is fine for somebody with a mental illness. There obviously are differences, but there's no difference in needing to manage an illness or a condition.
Yeah, you have something wrong and there's different ways to fix it.
Well, let's not say wrong, but you
the road wrong just kind of slipped right
out. No, it's okay.
We're gonna cut that out.
You don't need to. I think it's fostering the good conversation and readjusting.
But not wrong as in, like, it's wrong, but I meant wrong as in, like, I have bad eyesight, so I got glasses. That's one of the options, because my eyes don't work right, so I had...
Exactly.
I have glasses, so I can see better.
Yeah, we have checks and balances, and we readjust as we go, and that's an entire part of it, is there's nothing wrong with making these adjustments. We are not all the same.
That was the point I was trying to make. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're getting there. I'm just going to quote this next comment outright, and I let them know. I haven't heard back from them, so I'm really hoping. So this person says that I have severe anxiety and PTSD from being a sexual assault victim and from an autoimmune disorder that causes me to go anaphylactic and almost die from dogs. I have been hospitalized 9 times in 2 years. I have a therapist now. I keep telling myself I was fine, but the past 2 years when the anaphylactic reaction started, I noticed a change in me. I finally did something about it last year, but this year has been hell, and I started therapy, which is hard in the beginning as you deal with hard root issues. I have had to increase my meds as we go through this, as it has unlocked some memories that were blocked. I've had to increase my meds as we go through this, as it has unlocked some memories that were black before, very traumatic. I am working through them, it's a process, and trying to maintain my physical health, being a good wife, mom, daughter, auntie, sister, friend, worker. It's draining.
Trauma can block out your memories.
Absolutely.
And the meds can bring them back sometimes.
Well, that's the thing about triggers. I think that...
Oh, triggers, yeah.
I don't know if we use it too often for maybe not so serious issues now. It's saying things are triggering is such a... It can put you in that category of being a snowflake. I'm using air quotes here.
Oh, yeah. Definitely the word triggered has gotten just overdone. And then
people are blasé about the use of it.
Yeah. Not to go off on a separate topic, but the same thing happened with the word, like, feminist. And, like, it creates an image in your mind. And it's like, but that's not what it originally meant. But now when you say it, that's what it's connected to. Something negative. So yeah. Same thing with triggered.
No, I'm a hella feminist.
Yeah.
And you should be, too. But that's beside the point. But yeah, but triggers are real. And that's the thing. You don't know when a trigger will happen. For me personally, they just happen sometimes. And I have to deal with it in the moment because I did not plan for that trigger to affect me at any time. So it all depends on how you deal with it. I personally redirect, or I stay in that moment. I breathe and I'm like, okay, this is happening. This is the thing. Okay. And back to my original planned content. You know what I mean? It's how you deal with that. And when you realize that you have them, for me personally. So
yeah, that makes sense. That's all you can do is kind of acknowledge it and then breathe through it.
Yeah.
Or whatever you do to
You take control over it. You say, yes, this has happened. Or not, because we all deal with them in different ways. I can't tell you how to deal with your triggers.
Right.
And I can't...
And that comes down to, what's the word? Self...
Mindfulness?
Sort of self-soothing.
Well, it's grounding. It's a part of mindfulness, because mindfulness deals with grounding and being present in that moment.
It's true. But I'm annoyed that I can't find the exact word that I'm trying to think of, and I know we just used it recently. It's like developing your own coping skills.
Yes.
Coping.
Yes.
Coping was the word I was looking for. So yeah, everyone has their own way of coping with it.
Absolutely.
And you have to just kind of, once you know what your trigger is, you develop your own way to cope with it.
Yeah. Or if you haven't yet, I hope that you will. So the next comment was, more than willing to talk to you about diagnosing. It took such a long time to be diagnosed correctly with bipolar. At first it was depression, then anxiety, then ADHD. Took 5 years after a suicide attempt to get the right diagnosis. That's heavy. That's That's heavy, but that's real.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing about mental illnesses and disorders, is it's hard to pinpoint exactly which one you have. It's trial and error.
I mean,
for some people, but yeah.
It's, yeah, so. And it, finding the right therapist is so important. You are going to somebody and your experience there might not always be ideal, but think of it this way. You are interviewing this person as a therapist, and if you walk out of there not content with the results that you're getting, and mind you, results may take a while, you're not going to get everything you need out of your first session, but if this person is putting you off after a few sessions and you're not able to even get to a place where you are comfortable with this person, please seek out another therapist, because not all of them are going to fit with you.
And it won't hurt their feelings. they won't care.
Yeah, and if it does, who cares? This is your issue that you need to work through. Or issue, maybe that's not the right word. But this is your life that you're working through. So who cares if this therapist is butthurt? You're the one that needs results. They're getting money. So this other person said, and we'll touch on this a little bit later, but self-care isn't just a bubble bath and binge watching TV. It should be integrated in your daily life so you're better equipped when shit goes down.
Yeah, true, but also bubble baths and been watching TV does help. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I will. I don't want to downplay their comment. I'm sorry.
No, but that's important too. Like, it isn't just a bubble bath and binge watching TV, but sometimes not just that.
It's
sometimes you need it.
Sometimes you need a routine, and you need to you just need to develop a routine first of all, and just work on that, so that way when shit does hit the fan, you know where to go. You gotta find a happy place.
And routines are really great too, because it's something that you can depend on every day to do. It doesn't work for everybody, but I make coffee every morning, and this is a teeny tiny routine that I have. And Andrea and I, we have a routine when we do this podcast, is that every 2 weeks we get together. If the time changes, we communicate about it, but I make coffee for us. There's usually a treat involved. Today there was pineapples, which is delicious, even though Andrea just brushed her teeth.
It was horrible. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. So for the morning routine, coffee, that's more of an addiction at this point. But it is part of my everyday routine. But that's because if I don't, I get a caffeine headache. Yeah, it's part of the routine, though. My morning definitely would be off if I don't do it before 9 o'clock.
And I make tea for myself because it's very important for me and some health issues that I keep hydrated. You know, I quantify it as I have a 32-ounce water bottle. I make tea. I have that 32 ounces of tea. And then I like to keep track of how much I drink. Well, we'll touch back on self-care in a little bit. So the last comment that I received, it was bipolar 2, and I am incredibly open about all of my experiences because we need to normalize the treatment and existence of mental health. Beautifully said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically the point of this episode today.
Yeah. You are valid. You are not alone. And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with having a mental illness.
Actually, just like the one comment said, like, it's more, self-care is more than just bubble baths and binge watching. That's a good way to start off the self-care section.
Yes. But yeah, for self-care, I mean, it doesn't have to be all in the moment. You can plan something so you have something to look forward to. I mean, last weekend, kind of spur of the moment, tickets to the aquarium went on sale, and they were $20 a person, which is ridiculously cheap for the aquarium, but also kind of expensive. But my point is, I had something to look forward to. So when I was there, we went early to avoid children.
Good idea.
Thank you. And we got to spend time looking at the things that were really beautiful, and there was no distraction from it. It was us, and it was the exhibits.
It's really peaceful.
Yeah, when there's no children.
When you went to the hippo exhibit, did you sit in the corner?
We did.
Oh, yeah.
We went to both. We went to the middle, and the one hippo was going around the enclosure. Oh, it makes me really sad because they're in captivity. But the one hippo, it was feeding time, and they were eating their little cabbages. Aww. One was just namin, and then the other one got zoomies, and it just kind of went around and up to the glass. It would flip to its belly, and I just wanted to scrunch it. But it was so cute, and it had its little feeties. It would just, like, glide. So yeah.
I just, you never think about it, but just
they're really cute. I would never want to see them. Water puppies, yeah.
Yeah. Other than otters. Yeah.
Ooh. There were no otters, though. Which makes me sad.
The aquarium doesn't have otters. I just thought about it. Yeah, the penguins are okay.
The outside ones are stinky, but it's okay.
Penguins stink.
Yeah, they eat fish.
But then you got to go to the shark tunnel, which is...
Oh, yeah.
I wish it was longer. I think you said the same thing.
Me too, yeah.
It's still kind of cool.
It's peaceful because you're just surrounded and it's just like...
Oh, yeah. So the shark tunnel, just to explain to people what it is, okay, in case they don't know our aquarium, which is the Camden Aquarium.
Yeah, the Adventure Aquarium in Camden.
Don't get lost. Okay. There's a section for the sharks called the shark tunnel where it's, just imagine, what would you say, like 30 feet?
So just about, yeah.
A 30-foot walkway with a plexiglass dome over the top of this tunnel. Where you can walk through when the shark swims next to you and above you.
Yeah, they pass over you.
You can just
hang out.
Stand there and watch the sharks.
Yeah.
I get seasick if I stand there too long.
Really?
Aww. Yes.
I do not.
It feels absolutely ridiculous. Or maybe it's motion sickness. Either way, I get real woozy if I stay in there for too long.
Well, that makes sense because the glass is kind of magnetized in a weird way.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Because when they're above you, they look so little, and then when they move away they look a little bit bigger. It's a little disorienting, especially when you go to different views of that same enclosure and you're like, I thought that was so small and it's huge. So yeah, but it's beautiful and it's so, I don't know, it takes my breath away because how often do you get to do this in that kind of environment? And for me, this is so silly, but I love hammerhead sharks. I get so excited when I see a hammerhead shark because they're just so unique looking and...
It looks like a cartoon, but in real life, they're real.
Yes. So that's my favorite type of shark. And I get to go there and I get to see them and I get to plan it and look forward to that. So that's one thing I did for myself for self-care recently.
You can swim with the sharks.
You can. I don't want to.
Okay. I don't blame you. You're like, yeah, no.
No. I like to look at them. We live in New Jersey.
Behind glass.
There are sharks here.
Yeah.
I swim with the sharks all the time when we go to the ocean.
I should probably not do that. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm like rubbing my legs and you can hear the jeans probably. It's fine. Okay. So that's like one good thing for self-care.
Just
find a nice place to go. Find your happy place.
Yeah.
Mine was IKEA.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love IKEA.
Obviously.
But it depends, too. Are you the type of person that gets overwhelmed and gets in fights in IKEA?
Also, no. We're just very chill. The point of IKEA is to go there and sit on things and just talk about the future. Plan out your imaginary home that you may not ever have, but it's fine.
But it's sweet.
We can live in IKEA.
I mean, I think some people might, actually.
Like, yeah, you know what? We need an island. We live in a small, like, 1.5-bedroom apartment, or 1-bedroom and a den apartment, and we're talking about kitchen islands and marble countertops, and, like, where we're going to put our kitchen table, which we can't even fit, but...
Yeah.
When we move, we might have a bigger place, maybe.
But that's ideas and things to look forward to, and...
But yeah, it's a happy place for us when there's not screaming children. This is going to be the I Hate Children podcast. I feel it, but it's fine.
It's cool.
I'll cut down on that some. But it was really nice when there wasn't any children around. People in general, because we, you know, test out a few couches, test out a few kitchens. I laid on a bed for a little while and a display.
Nice.
We sat in a little computer room and, like, closed the curtain.
Aww.
Carrie was hiding in bathrooms because he's weird.
No, I love it.
Jumping out and scaring people. Whatever.
No, that's awesome.
It's
I love
fun.
You too.
One day, we're going to do hide and seek in IKEA.
I fucking love that. But it has to be within the same section because I don't think it would be fair to, like, do the whole floor.
Yeah.
Even though they have those, like, secret little cut-throughs, like, we'll figure it out.
I wish we could do a sleepover at IKEA.
No.
I would. Like a sanctioned one, not like, I'm gonna hide and just wait till it closes.
Mm.
I mean, like a sanctioned thing, and
I'd have,
like, wine
you.
And movies, and then...
That's cute, okay.
I wish that existed.
But, yeah, so I think the point of this is that they're right. Self-care isn't just about yoga and meditation and stuff like that. I mean, the other day, one of my rituals every spring is... I go to Lowe's or Home Depot and I buy the little Bonnie plants of herbs. I maintain my little herb garden throughout the summer and it brings me so much pleasure because it's something that I care for and that is mine. And while I was there, I took some time out and grounded myself to enjoy where I was. I don't like shopping. I don't like people. I think that I might have some social anxiety, if I'm being honest.
People are the worst, except for the ones on the internet, because you don't have to see them. I don't know.
Yeah, and you can ignore them.
I'm weird that way. I like my internet people.
Right? So I took time out to actually stop and I sniffed the flowers, but I smelled the flowers. I looked at them.
Oh, you stopped and smelled the roses.
I did. There were roses. And it was so cute. And a guy was even blocking one of the aisles with his cart. And it was so nice out that day. I was like, it's a beautiful day. I'm not going to get upset about your cart. And then he's like, yeah. We had a little moment. And I normally may have been upset about that, but I was immersed in the nursery in this beautiful time of year at the Lowe's, at the Home Depot nursery. Yeah. What's your favorite flower, by the way?
Sunflowers. We need to go visit a sunflower field. We're well overdue. Oh, do they do sunflower field mazes like they do corn mazes?
They should.
They definitely should, because I've never heard of one, but I just thought of it, and I hope it exists, and we should go.
I would absolutely do that, and I would pick off all the sunflower seeds and just, like, nom on them.
If not, we'll make our own.
No, I like it.
They're gonna get mad. So more on, just a little bit more, on just different coping skills. I am obsessed with video games, so yes. I wanted to bring up a few relaxing video games, because they're not all stressful, they're not all, like, GTA 5.
Yeah, you don't have to kill things. 5.
But you can if you find it relaxing, by the way. So, I just, like, wrote down a couple of relaxing games, and I just realized Grand Theft Auto can be relaxing sometimes.
Just driving
games.
I punch somebody in the face, I steal the car that I want, and then I go drive.
And have the cops chase you for a little bit.
And then that is enjoyment to me.
And also just blow things up. I like to set things on fire. That's a whole different thing. But in the GTA world, I find that relaxing. But for real relaxing games, there are a couple out there that are actually meant for relaxation or just kind of get your mind off of things. One of which is, so I think I have like three of them that I kind of pointed out that I liked. The first one being a game called Everything, where it's like this weird interactive storytelling game where there's different animations. You kind of start off in the consciousness of one being. You can transfer to anything, like small or large. You can be the consciousness of the grass and kind of spread out and like spread the grass or be a clover and spread out across the field. You can be a bug. Or you can be like a bird or an elk. But the thing is, when the animals move, they don't walk, they just flip. But it has great narration, and it's just very soothing to watch, and also kind of with the animals flipping, it's kind of silly, but
yeah,
it's a really chill game, and it kind of makes me feel better when I play it.
No, you showed me a clip of it and it looks so beautiful. I don't know that there's necessarily a point to it because I didn't get that far into it.
Just to play and relax.
Yeah, it's beautiful and then silly, and it takes itself serious enough, but not too serious.
But you also think about the universe and just the beings in it, which is all of us.
Yeah.
Another game I showed you called Flower. It's just a very simple game. It's called Flower. You play as the wind and you blow through the field and collect flower petals.
That's
pretty. I think there's like you get to the end. I forget what happens when you get there, but it's just very soothing music, beautiful flowers in a field, and you're blowing around. Another game I just thought of that's not on here. It's kind of weird. It's a Japanese game called Katamari.
No, I've never heard of this.
You never heard of Katamari?
Maybe I have.
It's really cute, but basically you start off as this little guy, and you're like rolling things around, and you're getting bigger and bigger, and you're just like rolling over things and
like
it's sticking to you.
Beetle?
You're like rolling over just stuff in this weird world, and I feel like honestly you would like this.
Probably.
I'll show you a clip later, but okay. It's one of those games where you start off small and you collect things, like as you roll through this world, and
oh,
as you get larger and larger,
stuff. Yeah,
you like start collecting buildings and airplanes, and you just roll it all up into this big ball.
Okay.
Anyway, that's another game. One of my favorite games, don't judge me, is Minecraft. It's very cute and peaceful, has chill music in the background. You can just go mining, and like the bricks popping make a very satisfying sound.
Yeah, it is not for me, but having watched you play, I can see why that is soothing. So without really ever having played it, I would say give it a shot. See if it's something you're into.
It's similar to that in Stardew Valley, which is, it's a farming game.
Mm-hmm.
Where basically you go around, it's similar to Minecraft, where it's kind of open, sort of kind of open world, and you just kind of build up your farm.
Oh, that's cute.
Cut down trees, move rocks, plant your crops. It's just very simple, very relaxing.
That's cute.
I think that was the last one. Oh, the game Journey. Okay, I can do this all day. But yeah, there's just different ways of relaxing and just kind of taking some you time out. And video games is one of those for me.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point because it's a hobby that you have, but it's also something that you go to de-stress and, you know, zone out into a productive element. So, I mean, here we are talking about all this, and if I'm being honest, I do need to probably seek a therapist. What's the point of talking about mental illness if I'm not going to be honest with you about anything? Yeah. For the past few years, I've been dealing with some grief issues that have been popping their head up and have really affected my thought processes, which on the one hand is great for the content we have on this podcast, but, you know, if we're being honest and if I listen to my husband and myself, I should make an appointment. I don't know why I haven't. I do plan to. It's just a really odd time right now, and I don't have a lot of free time.
Also, it's about finding the right therapist, because I remember you had one before, but you didn't like, it was a bad experience.
He just,
That's kind of the way it goes with pretty much any doctor.
Yeah.
You just, if you don't like them, you don't want to go back to them.
No, no.
But it's a thing that you need to do, so you just have to find the right one.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to do that again. And it's, I'm not saying it's okay not to have them right now. I have a lot of good coping skills, and I have a very wonderful husband and friends that help me out with it. But the burden shouldn't necessarily be on them, and I should find one.
Yeah, I was going to say, and pets, and I look around and, like, there's no pets around.
Oh, Archer's in his nest.
Yeah, there's pets. We'll provide pictures on the Instagram.
Yeah. But yeah, speaking of that, one of the things that's really gotten me through some harder times with the grief is I do this thing and I call it a happy bank. So all these moments, I don't write them down. You can write them down. I probably, you know, recommend that. But I store these little tiny moments as, you know, a little deposit into my happy bank. And something that I saw the other day, which I cannot forget.
Oh, okay, I'm ready.
So I work in Philadelphia. I work around the corner from Love Park. They had some, this is not relevant. Anyway, so I was in the park on a beautiful day and I'm just waiting at a food truck to get my lunch. And so this gentleman is pushing his bike. The bike has a bike basket. There's like a little sign. And inside the bike basket were two tiny dogs.
Yay.
Wearing tiny dog sunglasses. And the note on it said, yes, we like taking pictures. And, you know, other stuff.
That's awesome.
It was so cute. I just kept staring and giggling. I probably looked ridiculous at how much I was giggling at these tiny puppies in this tiny little bike basket. It was so cute. So
that's awesome.
That is going into my happy bank.
Wait, you didn't take a picture, did you? That's fine. You're on your lunch break.
And I was in the moment enjoying those puppies. So if we're being honest, I think that's my memory of them is more important than those pictures.
Good point.
Thank you. Thank you. So do you have any memories that you can pull up from your happy bank? I put you on the spot.
Yeah. I feel like my happy bank's different. I mean,
It doesn't have to be the same. It's yours.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's so random. I don't know. Just random stuff. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think I have a happy bank. Like, I have happy thoughts, but they're all fucking random, and it's just like,
that made me laugh
in the moment.
Yeah, this is just what I do, so I listen.
It's weird, because I feel like we just did something, and I mentioned it, like, before we started recording. About something that was funny that happened, and I was like, yeah, that was a funny moment. I enjoyed it.
Oh.
Lost it.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know, but I'm generally a happy person for the most part, even though it doesn't seem like it. I'm antisocial, but I'm happy.
You seem happy to me. I know you very well. I know, yeah. When you're sad, you're a quiet person, that's all.
Yeah, and one of my coworkers actually said, it was actually a very nice compliment. She was like, you just seem very sure of yourself.
Oh, you yeah. are, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
That's a ridiculously accurate statement.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things I want to change and fix, and I'm working on that, but I don't really let that...
You're human.
...hold me down. Well, I have bad days, but still, I usually get over it. Cats help.
Cat pictures definitely help. Yeah,
part of, like, getting better, like, eating right and exercise is a thing that I'm working on because, yeah, that's a thing that I need to work on, but I'm not going to be, like, sad about it.
Yeah, because you still have to do what you want to do, you know, regardless of your current state or state of mind. And yeah, I think that's really important.
Want to do a quick recap of...
Yeah. It's extremely important to have an open dialogue about mental illness. You know, it affects a lot of people. It is very common. It is not just one type of mental illness. You can have PTSD. You can have postpartum disorders. We went over a little bit of them. You can have bipolar, and you can have schizophrenia, being a child of someone who had schizophrenia. That, you know, is its own thing that I need to work through. Eating disorders are a huge thing. I mean, if I'm being honest with you, I am an emotional eater. I am a little afraid to say that, but here it is. And, you know, with all of that being said, you are not alone, and it is okay. There is no one way to exist in this world, and I think we need to change the mindset of, you know, what is quote-unquote normal. You know, what is normal? If you go and you have a conversation with a coworker and they react to you in a certain negative way, mm-hmm. That's their sense of normalcy they're reacting to, not yours. So you need to find your people. Andrea, you are my people.
Aw, thanks.
You're welcome.
You're my people. I don't need a lot of people, but yeah.
Yeah, it's important to find them.
You need a couple.
So don't let that shit get you down. You need to still try. You gotta put it out there sometimes.
Whether they're, like, in-person people or online people.
Yeah.
Don't want to downplay that, because I've met some pretty awesome people online.
That's very true.
Never met them in person.
Yeah, well, that group that I got all those comments from, I've never met them in person, but it's a very beautiful safe space. I will not ruin it for them. It is our safe space. If you find it, you find it.
So yeah, that's pretty much the message that we were trying to get out.
Yeah, so if you have any, you know, topics that we didn't go over, because I'm sure we missed out on a bunch of things, I think it was just really important given the content that our channel provides, and sometimes there might be stories that are a little bit... triggering,
mm-hmm.
possibly, or might need a content warning. I think it's our responsibility to promote, you know, good mental health and
an open dialogue.
Yeah, if you liked what you heard or want to contribute to a conversation, please
look us up.
Yeah,
you can look us up.
Let's
you
do
can find us. We never did the intro. Oh, we did a sort of intro. It's fine.
Soon outro. So
episode 10. So if you like what you heard today, please check us out on Twitter at @tinymorbid. Or on Instagram and Reddit at @tinymorbidfantasies.
To be featured in upcoming episodes, or if you'd like to add to this dialogue, please send anything to tinymorbidfantasies@gmail.com.
Also, if you have any questions, comments, send those too.
Yeah, we're here for you. You're not alone. I keep saying it, but it's true.
Thanks for not singing it. The end.
If you or someone you love needs help, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. They are available 24 hours a day to talk at 1-800-273-8255 and to chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Their services are free and confidential.